Okay, make sure you're in fellowship as we continue here. Looking at the person and nature of the father of the final parallel generations off his two wives, Lamech. His character is exposed, if you will, in regards to what most commentators refer to as a taunt song, under a parallelism, is definitely poetic, even in the Hebrew text, in this regards. And the aspect that is being brought out here in regards to Lamech is designed to utilize him to personify just how corrupt and evil, negative volition, running under STA unbridled, over generations, how contemptuous and arrogant they can become in this spiritual state. And the words themselves, the poem, the song, centers on the parent's role, with emphasis on the father, in the success of their children, which was the preceding context to these particular verses, specifically, most specifically, in regards to Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain, in regards to how they arrived to be, if you will, known as the heads and originators of certain professions and guilds, unions, if you will, in regards to their time in the antediluvian period. And the emphasis is on that parental role. And Lamech now revealing to us, if you will, a very ruthless, you would at least say less than compassionate nature in regards to his own person and others around him. This as it centers on the fact that he killed a young man in the prime of life, if you will, physically fit by all indications, for doing no more than hitting him and wounding him otherwise. While he did kill the individual, that is not the real impression that is left upon the reader, who is recognizing that it is painting and coloring his character. That comes about in regards to the fact that he not only kills the guy, but now he's boasting about it. Now he's bragging about it. He's flaunting it. He is, if you will, utilizing it as a challenge to others that may want to approach him in some like manner or otherwise in their lives. This is the real emphasis in regards to his taunt song, and that is that he is very boastful, and hence he is extremely arrogant in regards to his person and character. Again, the verse 23, and Lamech said to his wives, Ada and Zillah, giving them honorable mention, but the real emphasis is on his person. Listen to my voice, you wives of Lamech, the wisdom of his choice in picking them as his wives. Give heed to my speech, i.e., me, and hang on every word. This is how important I am, see, that type of an attitude. For I have killed a man for wounding me, and a boy for striking me. So, again, while a lot of commentators, what they zero in on is just the fact that he killed him, the real focus here is on his arrogant, braggadocious manner revolving around the whole incident. And this in context, obviously, in regards to being the father of the mothers of the children that experienced great success in their own lives personally, in regards to their persons. So where we left off here, and that brings us up in summary fashion. the song itself, what we have so far as it's brought out, just to put it in its proper perspective, that's point 37, page 36 of our notes. So far, the song has put emphasis on these particular areas. A parenting success with emphasis on the father. Wives, Ada and Zilla, mothers. But the emphasis is on the father. B, this assumes the impressionability of children growing up, which children are impressionable, and parents often drive their children in the very direction that they will go and take in life. And if nothing else, at least they will adopt similar characteristics and attitudes and viewpoints in regards to their pursuits in life. And that is really the main emphasis that is being seen in this respect. So see, the combined emphasis on both mother and father here looks to the perpetuation of negative volition infused in the family nucleus. Again, it must be understood in the context of the fact we're dealing with negative unbelievers in the line of Cain, with the hereditary nature of Cain's STA now being exposed several generations down the line. And negative volition has been pursued and followed in regards to this family tree. And that perpetuation now is infused in regards to the very attitude towards doctrine, God, in regards to the children. Now, yes, any one of them can go on positive volition at any time. But the norm is that children will follow the footsteps of their parents when you have a normal family setting in this regards. So that looks at the perpetuation of negative volition. The kind of family perpetuation that God told Israel, I'll judge you generation after generation for if you maintain it. See, as we saw in the book of Exodus. So, D, now the emphasis on Lamech as the father looks to the hereditary nature of the indwelling STA passed on to their progeny, influencing their negative volition. Not everybody's STA is the same. Now, we have similarities. But some STA trends are more prevalent in others than you might find in somebody else. It's our own, if you will, imprint, sin nature imprint. We have our own individuality in that regard. But it is and remains similar in regards to the STA trends of our father and forefathers in that regards. So the indwelling sin nature, the old sin nature, influences, obviously, in terms of lust patterns, desires, and characteristics in that way upon negative volition as they pursue their own life, as they grow up as children, etc., and find their own path in life otherwise. So, even though women are only carriers, a man is a transmitter of the sin nature gene, and it is that characteristic that is passed down to the children, both male and female. And while the female doesn't transmit, she's still infected with the sin nature. And after, obviously, over centuries, you had all the combinations, and even then, though, you will still see primary traits carried on by father's two children. So he, the authority here, that being Lamech, the head of the house, the father, the husband, is seen as assertive and demanding, and is presented as the teachers of life's lessons. The commands, listen and give heed. My wives, I was smart enough to pick you, see. So all that points to a very demanding nature. And he is here presenting this as a teacher of life's lessons. That through his experience, his own experience, this is what he can brag about and what he is able to accomplish in regards to an offense that came his way. And obviously also in relationship to how this then, in characteristic way, would influence his own children and their own upbringing. Now, you got to remember that as a parent, you make an impression on a child, you know, one way or the other. It's not like you just be anything you want to be and figure out, well, they'll get older, they can pull out of it. Well, you got an opportunity to do it right before them, do it. But they are impressionable. And yes, even though you may be an idiot, they may turn out not be an idiot. But the chances are, stupid is as stupid does, as some stupid person once said. So, he considers himself wise to the world and seeks personal approbation for stimulation and motivation to apply the wisdom. He wants to be noted, renowned, in regards to his conquest. And he wants his family, if you will, to honor him and recognize him as such. Especially his wives. So he considers himself wise to the world. Now there are many people that are extremely wise to the world. They understand the cosmos and how it operates. Well, so do we. But they know how to manipulate it, and they train themselves and often follow educational pursuits and things of this nature to manipulate it for their own successes, whether it's right or wrong. So he considers himself wise to the world, one of great experience, and seeks personal approbation for stimulation and motivation to apply the wisdom. What's the drive? What's the motivation behind the individual to pass this on? To be known, to be recognized, to be the center of attention often is a driving force for many people, more than probably people will even recognize. Heck, it's almost hard sometimes to find people that understand what approbation is. See? So approbation is a great motivator. To be the center of attention, to be exalted by others. So G, now his nature is one of self-empowerment. To empower yourself. Seems like I hear that on TV a lot. To empower yourself, see. Not hesitating to abuse that power for his own means and purpose. That is, to satisfy his sin nature, his drive, his trend, his viewpoint and agenda in life. H, this includes eliminating any considered adversary in life without compunction, even if you have to kill him. He is willing to go even to this extreme, to impose himself in power over the other individual who, obviously, to him, he was offended by. He was physically, yes, hit, but not in any way demanding of executing the individual for it. So, this teaches a competitive and ruthless spirit to the child. Now, we recognize that, you know, competition is fun. It is beneficial in teaching certain things, but competition a lot of times is exaggerated in its purpose and how it is taught to children otherwise in this regards. Here you have a very competitive nature that is accompanied with a ruthless attitude in regards to competitive nature at hand. We see it even in sports and things where it's supposed to be competition between teams, but then people get off and they start having fights and you have all this crap goes on in regards to games and people getting killed by others because of the competitive nature of fans that have no money, no investment in the team, generally speaking. What are they? What are the teams to these people? But some people, you think that it is their God. You know, you go, why are you so wrapped around the axle in regards to whether the Browns win or whoever? You got money invested in these people? Is this going to make you a prophet? No, it's my team. We recognize this. See, we see this attitude in regards to people. And yes, it's fun. I understand it. But there's a proper place for it. And then there is overkill. See, overkill. And that's where you got to, that's where doctrine keeps you maintained in regards to this. Our society teaches children growing up to be extremely competitive. To survive under a monetary system of which we live in, you got to be competitive, see. And they even will rank children in regards to terms of education based on one's ability and skills and drive and motivation in this regard versus someone who maybe not be so motivated. With Lamech, you have someone here, and you got a visioning, being the father of these children, this is the kind of character, this kind of nature this guy had. So he passes this on to his children. And now you see why, possibly, they were so successful. See? So, Jay, the height of success in Satan's world is to have the kind of will. This was negative volition. That's Satan's world. Driving one to overpower even the powerful to establish a reputation and station in life as, quote, top dog, end quote. He is a prime picture of a training exercise of generations to excel in Satan's world, to be that successful, to be blessed by Satan, if you will. Be blessed by the world rather than letting God bless someone for being humble and placing themselves under God's directive and will and NPR and all these other things in life. Our society pushes and endorses something completely opposite of that. And again, we're not. It's not what I'm stating is not to designed to temper, if you will, motivation and drive by people, but to put it in a proper doctrinal perspective. For Lamech, is at the expense of even another person's life to rule and have power over them. See, and you can put that in regards to whatever spectrum and emphasis that you want to in regards to individuals. To be the big CEO of a company, see. What toes you may have to step on to get there. To be at the top of the heap. To be one of the great merchants. Things of this nature, see. Okay, this produces pride in one's self, then shared with within the extended family. Again, you recognize one of the primary principles that is brought out in regards to Cain's family tree was the promotion of family in replacement of God as fellowship and association in life. Cain's rejected by God, or he rejects God, the true way to state it. Cain rejects God. So God honors that. you don't want to have an association with me? Well, fine. Bye-bye. And he's got to fill the void. He fills the void in regards to his family. That was the dedicating of the city to his son Enosh. See? I've said it before often, and we may be surprised just how often when we see it all in its right perspective, family is people's gods. It's their sacred cows. See? And again, not to diminutize the importance of the divine institution. It is a divine institution. But, like anything else, it's supposed to be done within the constraints and under the perspective of Bible doctrine. It's not at the compromise of doctrine. You don't leave Bible doctrine just because other family members leave Bible doctrine. That's just stupid. You know, we understand that, but, you know, some people don't. Some people, even if they do understand it, don't follow it. Pride in family. And here, obviously, with Lamech, he is the epitome of self-centeredness and pride within himself, which feeds to his family. And all this, the kids pick up on. This is the way to do things. See. 38. These are the life lessons Lamech is bragging about to his wives that he handed down to his progeny, and the reason they have found success. 39. Coupled with an aggressive, unrelenting, like STA nature, like father, like son. Provision for an effective potion for self-glorification and exaltation has been concocted. He's found the right prescription in regards to how he teaches his children to be successful in life. And he exudes it in his own person. And that is a very aggressive and unrelenting sin nature. 40, Lamech, quote, beats his chest, end quote, regarding his own ruthless, aggressive, and unrelenting nature as a kind of nature that molded his sons. The young punk hit me, bruised me. I killed him. See? That's the picture I get from this guy. And he brags about it. He flaunts it. He wants people to recognize it and to be known for that. And obviously, especially to his wives, because often wives obviously look to the masculinity of their husbands as something to be proud of. If you're a normal woman. How often does a pastor have to say that anymore? In normal situations. Good grief. So 41, his human viewpoint, wisdom, and STA influence serves as the basis for the personality cults seen in Jabal and Jabul and the violence-induced industry pursued by Tubal Cain. That is, a worldly wisdom, pursuit of the world, becoming sophisticated and adept at being successful with it. Approbation, the personality cults love approbation of certain personalities, and people adhere to it. They celebrate it. They're their heroes. Self-empowerment. All this kind of stuff is often taught in industries and training in regards to people trying to move up the corporate ladders. And then finally, last but not least, callous drive. A drive, an agenda that nothing's going to get in your way. So. We're not talking about someone who half-heartedly wants to make maybe a couple of achievements in life. This guy wants to be top dog. See? And this is what he wants to pass down to his children, to be the best they can be. That type of mentality. And again, not under doctrinal constraints, not in a correct way of doing the best you can, but under the STA driven negative volition rejection of God and Bible doctrine. And the people of this nature who want to get to the top indeed are very calloused. You hear things and stories about people who are successful in industries, big industries. We're not talking about the mom and pop business. We're talking about the great merchant types, political successes. There's books out there that'll peel off the facade. And many of these politicians, people that somehow mysteriously get bumped off that happen to be, maybe a possible obstruction to somebody else's success. And everything's mysteriously questionable in regards to why, things like that. Come on, this has been going on for centuries, this kind of attitude. You want the world to bless you? You want to be at the top of the heap in the cosmos under negative volition? This is what it's going to take, people. I'm here to tell you. This guy could teach you how to do that. He will ingrain in you the right characteristics, the right drive, the ruthless aspect in regards to approach, in regards to life, just like he taught his own children. Of course, obviously, they had to apply it on their own level. So 42, these principles are the same formula, having been consistently used by men throughout history, seeking to climb, quote, to the top, end quote, economically, politically, and socially. 43, their negative volition empowers them, by virtue of the indwelling STA, to put aside compassion and fairness towards others in order to attain their goals. I don't care how much is hidden to us. Bible doctrine reveals truly what's going on under the scenes in regards to those who are so economically successful in the last days. And that was brought out for us in the book of James. James 5, 1 through 6. In regards to the prophecy of the rich in the last days. Come now, you rich, weep and howl for your miseries which are coming upon you. As majority of them are probably associated with our country, with our society, either directly or indirectly. And will be targets and victims in regards to God's final assault on prophetic Babylon. Your riches have rotted and your garments have become moth-eaten. Obviously something supernatural is going on because your gold, your silver have rusted. And their rust will be a witness against you. This looks at some type of poison that corrodes metals that don't generally corrode. And it looks obviously at a nuclear or similar type of attack in regards to their riches. And it will be a witness against you and will consume your flesh like fire. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. All this stuff you see on TV in regards to people's economy, what's considered middle class, what's considered upper class, what they consider upper class is nothing compared to the one percenters. To be up there at the top dog heap economically in this world. Right, used to be a millionaire, now you got to be a billionaire, and that's not even close to the trillions that the Rockefellers and other people of that ilk truly own and are worth. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mold your fields. Now, this is their approach. See, this is how they were able to arrive at their riches, to arrive at their success. To be the father of the cattle, or the harp and the lyre. To be successful in regards to metallurgy, weapons of war. Behold, the pay of the laborers, verse 4, who mowed your fields, and which has been withheld by you, constantly oppressing economically. Others who are essentially doing things to keep their extreme wealth wealth propped up in regards to life. Now, through inflation, that's one way they definitely, when they remove the gold standard off our monetary system and put it within the fiat standard of money, it gives these world great merchants the ability and power to cause the economy to fluctuate any way and any time they want, rather than having a standard to follow in regards to something of real value. They make it up. See. And inflation is one way that they oppress. They remove things from people. You know, unfair taxation. Obviously, our tax laws are about as unfair as they can get. If you got the money, you can find the loopholes and you can get out. And, you know, and some of them, they want to make the big boast, you know, to appeal to the middle class. Well, we're going to tax the rich now. Well, I'll tell you, the rich does not include the people we're dealing with here in James. They're the ones telling them to do this, you know. Destroy the classes, etc. Anyway, yeah, I get wrapped up sometimes. But I like it. Behold, the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields, which has been withheld by you, cries out against you. And the outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the armies. For those positive individuals in the last days, those of us who sit here and have to endure this type of oppression, and we often sometimes stress to make ends meet because we're applying ourselves to Bible doctrine, etc. We're not willing to let go of our values and virtues of Bible doctrine in order to progress ourselves in a compromised doctrine in order to advance ourselves in this world. See. And the tables laid out for us is unfair completely. It's basically all one-sided. Just as the aspect of the game, the rigged games we saw in Ephesians in regards to Satan and how he operates in this world. And we're seeing it, and we're experiencing it at a level that is obviously exceptional here in the last days. But our prayers, see, have reached the Lord of the armies. He hears us, whether they do or not. In verse 5, and it will come back on them eventually, those who are involved and who are alive at that point in time and otherwise, accordingly, spiritually. It will come back on them. You have lived luxuriously on the earth, you know, all the yacht owners. I look at some of these shows of like the Well TV, and you see these ports with, you know, literally hundreds of multi-million dollar yachts sitting in them. Where in the world is that coming from? You're the guy out there washing it down, getting the barnacles off the side. Where does that kind of money come from? How do you afford something like that? You know, even with an 800 credit score, how do you afford something like that? I'm out, man. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. In verse 6, this is the one that we're applying directly, especially to our verse. You have condemned and put to death the righteous man. He does not resist you. One who is innocent otherwise. See. And just last, Lamech's victim was not obviously worthy of death for him to get his way. So we have it in regards to the last days and the great merchants. And they will stop at nothing. They will stop at nothing. They don't care if they waste a few lives turning the population into experimental guinea pigs for their large pharmaceuticals. Good grief. Half of these commercials, it takes half the commercial to tell you what you might happen to you otherwise in adverse conditions if you take the pill. See? And you sit there. And yet people just sit there and well, that's their discipline for rejecting truth and Bible doctrine. Yeah, there are good aspects in regards, we know, in regards to these industries. But overall, insurance companies, what other industry has manipulated our government to force us to buy their product? Yeah, we're dependent on a lot of other industries, but to force us by law. You want to know why I get up in the air in regards to the evils of insurance? Well, you know, and who can afford it? Some people can't. If you can afford to have insurance, you buy it. And then if somebody hits you, you don't have insurance, then your insurance will cover it. It's over. You know? Otherwise, you take the risk. It's your risk. Yeah, I used to work for an insurance company, a large one, probably one of the largest private family-owned insurance companies in the United States. Now I look back and go, wow. I'm glad I'm here instead. I'd rather have the snow and a small church in Cleveland, Ohio, than work for that industry, I guarantee you. The headaches that went with it. A company that I remember hearing their president complain to a manager because they had an employee that got sick and had complications of giving birth, and the expense it was to their insurance that was providing them with their insurance. You need to do something about this. And this person's his whole aspect of excelling in the company and staying with it was going to be based, part of it's going to be based on how he's able to deal with this financial situation. Yeah, I saw that, and even back then I go, oh, that's wrong. You know? But anyway, not to go off too far there, but to give us a little color, to put it in a present position, we're dealing with the same thing today in regards to attitudes and approach to life. It's just wrapped differently. So 44, now that self-empowerment, and that's a term that obviously you need to let sink in, because this type of motivation we're constantly being hammered with in regards to our society. That self-empowerment, point 44, is central to the song. It's seen in the final stanza, if Cain is avenged sevenfold, then Lamech 77-fold. 45, unlike his ancestor Cain, that felt desperate for divine protection, as we saw in regards to his argument towards God, Lamech boasts that he can provide his own security against retribution. He boasts he can provide his own security. 46, the comparison 7 and 77, obviously, is completely exaggerated, exemplifying just how arrogant men have become by the sixth generation with Lamech, running under STA bridle in rejection of God. 47, his attitude is, quote, God, I don't need no stinking God, end quote, borrowed from one of my favorite movie lines. To handle competitors in life, paraphrased. But that's his attitude. And that's the attitude it is in regards to most of these people that you will find in this ilk in society. 48, clearly this man had no fear of God, if he even believed in God. And that's highly questionable at this point in time. 49, this attitude dominates the economically and politically elite of the world that look upon those that exercise faith in God as weak and timid. That's how we often are viewed by the cosmic types, especially those who are otherwise successful in life. We're dependent. You're dependent on that religion. We're viewed in that way by the world as taught by Christ, Matthew 5:5 in the Beatitudes there, recognizing how we're generally regarded by the cosmos in general. Blessed are the humble, or the meek, literally, New American Standard, gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Negative volition, those who look at us in regards to our commitment to doctrine, especially, look at us, as I stated often, as just being weak-willed and weak-minded, that we have to lean on something, that we can't think for ourselves, you know, that type of attitude. And hence why you don't find any of us, generally speaking, so motivated to be the head of CEOs, CEOs of big companies in industry and things of this nature in general. Because we come out of that type of apathetic, that's just the way that attitude, the apathy in regards to being successful in life. They completely and totally misunderstand our whole reasoning and approach in regards to these things. Yeah. You got to lean on religion. Well, where's the origination of your thoughts? You think you're the first one that ever thought that? That kind of attitude has been going on for centuries in regards to negative versus positive volition. Weak-willed, timid. They misunderstand our approach, just like they would misunderstand Jesus' approach. See? So 50, Lamech's wives are to look on with pride as to their sons develop successes, knowing that they are all a, quote, chip off the old block, end quote. 51, their part, the wives, was in aligning with the negative husband providing a carrier for his seed. We'll carry your babies. 52, with this STA-driven mindset of negative volition, it is no wonder that the world becomes, and is, such a violent place of conflict continuously and throughout societies in the world. 53, Lamech is a result of an unbroken line of negative volition stemming from his great-great-great-grandfather's STA genetic line. 54, his story is one result of what is produced and manifested making family God. All attention is directed towards the family, see, and how successful they can be as a family. 55, the Cainite line represents a counterfeit family priesthood developed as an alternative to God's plan. And during the time of the Gentiles, it was under a family priesthood. And this is a counterfeit. Rejection of God, they fill the void, and they make the family their family God. So 56, making family God produces offspring in the image of their father. That is a principle that is passed down on both sides of the coin. Genesis 5:3, in regards to Seth and Adam, obviously being on the positive side of the deal, Adam became the father of the son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named him Seth. Children to copy and imitate their parents. Obviously, they can go off on their own and do their own thing too, but either way. 57, his arrogance and egotism reflects just how morally and spiritually bankrupt the unchecked STA becomes in avoiding God and Bible doctrine. Let it go unbridled, it can really just go off the arrogance meter if you let it. 58, by removing God from the equation, one empowers himself to rule life. You move Bible doctrine as your standard of thinking and application, and God in regards to recognizing and depending upon Him in regards to His attributes and His power to bless you and support you in life, all you're doing is trying to empower yourself. See? You'll do it yourself. You don't need no stinking God. 59, there is no true justice dispensed from these types. Only perpetuated aggression against any slight. You get in their way, look out. 68, or 60, their attitude is that it is, quote, dog-eat-dog world, and only the strong survive. 61, the most ruthless, driven by human viewpoint, arrogance, approbation, and pride, generally rule in Satan's world. 1 Peter 5:8, how does Satan himself deal with the world and hunt us and the world? Is it with a passive nature? I think not. Be a sober spirit, be on alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls about like a roaring lion. The noise, the power, the threat, the danger, all that would be associated in regards to the king of the jungle, this beast prowling upon his victims, etc. This pictures Satan. How does he do this? He uses negative volition driven under FCA in order to accomplish his needs to try to bring down anyone else that will oppress him, be an obstacle to his own agenda in regards to this world. And understand, negative volition, unbridled under FCA are doing nothing but copying their father, spiritually, Satan, seeking someone to devour. He pictures perfectly these types of individuals that live in this world. So 62, by placing Lamech at the end of the genealogy of Cain, the author reveals the ongoing negative volition with its attendant STA depravities associated with, quote, the seed of the serpent, end quote. What it produces. Bible doctrine, obviously saving faith to begin with, but then Bible doctrine and rebound is our check in regards to our own STA getting out of control and imitating our unbelieving counterparts. 63, the Cainite family tree represents the pre-diluvian counterparts, or antediluvian counterparts, paralleling the latter-day rich and violent that will align themselves with the Antichrist. They're like a counterpart early on in history. And God had to come in, and their evil got so bad he had to bring a universal judgment upon them, just like he'll have to do again. Mankind en masse. Matthew 24:37. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. The evil will imitate it. See, the kinds of people, the kind of characters, kind of natures that we see in regards to Lamech, his children, etc., we'll see it in the last days. In Luke 17, probably a parallel. 26 and 27. And just as it happened in the days of Noah, so it shall be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating, they were drinking, they were marrying. Party down, live life to the fullest, disregard regards to God and His plan for their lives. Go on with life, make the best out of life that you can. You know, that whole attitude. They were being given in marriage. That in regards to the angelic infiltration, that looks at that part too. Recognizing that even though the angels targeted females, obviously their fathers and the males around them had a say-so in all this. And that they were basically fine with what was going on in regards to this angelic reproduction that occurred back in this time in history. Until the day that Noah entered the ark, all the way up to the last minute, insatiable. That's the FCA. Insatiable, see. And the flood came and destroyed them all. You can't control your FCA, I'll control it for you, God says. Give the earth a good cleansing. 64, both cases. 63 again. The Cainite family tree represents the pre-diluvian counterparts paralleling the latter-day rich and violent that will align themselves with the Antichrist. 64. In both cases, evil they represent becomes so offensive that God will overrule them historically with judgment unprecedented on both occasions. 65. Their perpetuated negative unbelief is in direct contrast with positive volition seeking to do God's will in life. 66. Their lineage and story begins in verse 25, as positive volition, and following to the end of Genesis. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to lighten us these things in Jesus' name. Amen.